Amen to that. Excellent message this morning. And I want to keep going. I want to dig a little deeper in part of that, and that of defend. Let's just keep going with that kind of thought. Now, Brother Thomas prayed this morning that we would be blessed to preach those things which this church needs. Didn't you say that? I believe you did. So put your spiritual thinking caps on and pray for me. This is not one of those messages that we love to hear, but I think it's needful. I think it's very needful, and I think it's very much in harmony. Well, it is absolutely in harmony with what we've just heard. I'm just continuing with that idea because Brother Kenneth was talking about we need to be able to stand. What happens when we get off track? We're not living according to truth. What happens? You know, Paul was warning Timothy about those who'd made shipwreck of their faith. We don't stand. We fall. We stumble. Okay? When we're not depending upon truth, we get weak. Okay? All right. So look, that's, I prepared your mind enough, I guess. But as, and this message was born out of prayer. Because I really have been burdened Lord, what would you have me to preach that is so needful? Because sometimes, you know, what we need is not what we want. Okay? So when we pray to God, are we praying, thy will be done? Or are we praying what we want and asking the Lord to bless it? We can be guilty of that. I've been guilty of that plenty of times. Okay? But we need what the Lord would give us and what would be pleasing to him. Okay? So here's what's on my heart this morning. The danger of lust. The danger of lust. You know, if there were a bear that came walking out of these wooded areas, would you be afraid? Would you be careful? I would. That bear could kill you. Hey, if you're walking to somebody's yard and there's this great big dog that's barking and growling and coming at you, would you be afraid? Some folks have got packing heat. They might could take care of that situation, but would you be afraid? Is there a reason to be afraid? Yes, because there's a real danger there. Well, you know what? You carry around something with you all the time in your old nature that is not eradicated yet. It's still there. And it's very dangerous. Because it could cause you to die. It could. And that's lust. Die? Yes. God put Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them one commandment. All the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what?
Die.
Die. Well, they ate of it. Did they die? Well, no, Adam lived to be, 900 and something years old. That's true. But he died. He was separated from God. That's the death. And because of that, he eventually died a natural death. But what about that death that had been working all those other years? That separated him from the fellowship of God. I don't think, or I'm afraid, that sometimes we don't consider the danger of lust like we should. Perhaps we don't consider the great need for what Brother Kenneth has preached to us. Sometimes we have more confidence in ourselves than we need to have. Okay? So let's get into this. Time's getting away here. If you're looking for a definition of lust, I'll give you one. And it's one that I came up with looking at several dictionaries. And it's this: sinful longing for objects. These objects could be material things or could be things in our mind. Okay, affections or whatever. Sinful longing for objects of desire that pulls us away from God and godliness. Those things that pull us away from God and godliness. What happened with Adam and Eve? They sinned. Well, first of all, they chose to disobey God. And what happened? They died. Not only did they die, but they brought death upon all humanity. That's the reason that we die. That's the reason that we have to sorrow when some of our loved ones die. It's because of sin. How did it come into the world? James gives us the process. I'll very quickly talk, James chapter 1, beginning of verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, that gets all of us. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the process that the Word of God gives us from temptation to death. And lust is right there in our hearts, waiting for something to tickle it, something to attract it, something to cause us to have that desire, for that desire to well up within us. And if you're not careful, it can overtake your judgment. Now, you all know this, don't you? All right? But do we appreciate the danger that lies beyond that? You know, I love that statement that Charles Spurgeon made one time about temptation. He says, you know, temptations, he says, it's like you can't keep a, you know, sometimes you can avoid temptations. Sometimes temptations are going to come your way regardless of what you're doing. So you have to realize that we can be tempted in a lot of ways, all right? Charles Spurgeon said, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. Okay? Some temptations are easy for us to shoo away. Some temptations are strong, and it varies. You know, Hebrews 12 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We're different. There are things that bother us. There's some things that bother me that wouldn't be a bother to you. Some things that bother you that wouldn't be a bother. But it's there. And guess what? The devil knows what it is. And he loves to use it against us. Because what does he want to do? He wants to draw us away from God. He wants us to ruin our testimony. He wants us to do things that are not pleasing to God, so that we're weak, so that we can't stand. Let me ask you a question. Is the church standing against evil like it should be? I didn't hear a word. Is it? Thank you. It's not. And we blush because we're part of the church. How much are we standing against evil? How much are we regarding the danger of lust that's within us? Oh, I'm strong. I can handle it. Yeah, right. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. James gave us the pattern there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." Who are strangers and pilgrims? That's us. This world is not our home. Our home is in heaven. Okay? So what that means is that our citizenship is in heaven, so we're not to be at home here in this world. And as pilgrims, we realize this is not our home. We have one in heaven. And we're looking forward to the time that we'll be with him. But let's make the best of what we have right now. It may be 100 years before we're blessed to go home to be with the Lord. All right? Maybe a little less. But the point is, we're not there yet. Looks like to me everybody here is pretty well, pretty healthy. All right? We're going to be here a while. So let's make the best of this by standing upon God's word and standing up and defending the truth and doing what we can to be a positive influence in the kingdom of God. Not so wrapped up with the things of this world that we don't care anything about the kingdom. Let's be letting our light shine in this world and be a positive influence in the kingdom of God. Okay? So Peter said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." There's a warfare going on. Let's not be a willing accomplice. Let's stand. Let's fight that good fight of faith. Let's be a positive influence in the world. Let's be a light to shine good and to do those things which are pleasing to the Lord, regardless of what the world thinks. I appreciated what Brother Kenneth said about the fact we're not alone. We're not. And yes, when you stand for the truth, it will embolden others to stand. And so, let's do what we can. You know, we may not be able to change a whole lot, but we can change our world. We can change our sphere of influence. We can be faithful to God. We can do those things which are pleasing to him and take our stand. And maybe we can embolden others to do the same. Amen. Oh, may God help us to be bright and shining lights in this world. That's what he's called us to do, right? Is to take a stand. All right? So Peter says, this lust wars against our soul. It's not our friend. It wants to destroy us. It wants to weaken us. Bless your hearts. That's why the Lord gave us his spirit. That's why he gave us his word. And we'll continue on here. All right. So the greatest help and the greatest weapon we have to fight against this lust that we have and the things that are going on in the world is the word of God. Okay. Let me read you in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul was instructing Timothy on how to go about his ministry and how to minister to God's people. He's in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking about preach the word. Preach the word. You know, that's what we're to preach. Amen. The word of God. And I don't have much patience with somebody that takes up time in the pulpit talking about a whole lot of other things except the Word of God. All right? Preach the Word, he said. And he goes on to say this, and this is another way that it addresses the danger of lust that's within us, all right? He says, preach the word. Then in verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come. The time will come. We're there, by the way. Yeah. It's come already. It's been 2,000 years since Paul wrote that, and it's here, all right? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word of what God has done for his people, the word of his grace, the word of sending his son to this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins, and he finished that work, and we're to rejoice and we're to praise him for his finished work that he did in accomplishing the eternal purpose of God. That kind of sound doctrine, some people don't have any use for it. All right? So he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What will they do? But after their own lusts, that is their own preferences, their own looking for something pleasing, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What does that mean? It means the preacher or the speaker is saying things that he knows the people want to hear. That never goes well with trying to preach the gospel. When Jeremiah was called to preach unto that people in that day, the Lord told him, don't be afraid of their faces, but you speak what I give you to tell them. And there's other subjects that I'd rather talk about today. But when I prayed about this and the Lord put this on my heart, I know that's what I need to preach. And when Brother Thomas prayed and when he said what he said, it just gave me confirmation that the Lord was answering a prayer and the Lord was going to be giving us messages that we need to hear. We need to hear about taking a stand. We need to hear about the danger of lust in our lives. It's good for us. It's kind of like eating your vegetables. You know, you may prefer something else, but it's good for you to have good nutrition. And we need the wholesome word of God. Paul, writing to Titus, speaks about the wholesome, or Timothy, I guess it is, the wholesome word. That means that which brings soundness and strength and health, restoring to health. All right? So he says, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and here's what they'll do. All right? If they follow the lusts, instead of listening to the word of God, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Wow. And shall be turned unto fables. Fables may be entertaining, but they're empty. There may be a point here and there, morality or whatever, but they're just the words of men. They're the opinions of men. Stories. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God that tells us what it is that will help us to take that stand. We need the Word of God that will help us to live the kind of life that we can provide the good example that our family needs to see. You know, you can tell them all day long what they need to do, but when you live it before them, it's so much more powerful. All right? And so as we realize that we're... The Word of God tells us that there's the day would come, and I believe it's here, when many would turn aside, turn their ears aside from the truth. We need truth. We need the instruction. Our soul needs to be fed on the Word of God. And like Brother Kenneth said, we got about an hour on Sunday morning. Now, we have an hour on Wednesday night, but there's not too many folks show up. So 1 hour a week, for the most part, that we avail ourselves to hear the Word of God. And then, in case something comes up and we're not here. Right. Yeah, I'm on a soapbox, I guess. But this is a subject that we need to lay to heart. Amen. It's for our good. It's because we love you. It's because God loves you. And he's provided what you need to know to endure these temptations and to avoid temptations and to deal with it. You know, like Spurgeon said, you know, we can't keep the temptations from happening sometimes, but we can deal with how we can control how we deal with it. What we do with it. Do we shoo it away? Or do we think we can handle it? It's deceptive, all right? So part of this lust that is within us would cause us to turn away from the truth. Well, if we turn away from the truth, what have we done? We've cut off our source, our greatest source of help. We need that. We need that. All right? Remember in the parable of the sower? Okay? When the sower went forth to sow the seed, and the Bible tells us that the seed is the word of God. Okay? And so the point is, the seed needs to be sown in good soil so they can bring forth much fruit. The fruit is what brings glory to God. Okay? But the process is, the seed needs to get into the heart. We need to obey the word. We need to do those things which bring show forth the fruit that that's being born. All right? Then there's glory to God when there's fruit born. But in Mark's account of this, listen to how he describes the seed that fell among thorns. The seed that fell among thorns. He says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. So here's another danger. The lust of other things, choking out the word of God. Well, if you choke out the word of God, what have you done? You cut yourself off. Right. It's another way of how they turn their ear away from the truth. See, do you see the danger? The danger that this lust that we carry around in our hearts, this old nature of ours, it's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. This flesh nature we have within us, if we're not careful, it can cause us great harm in our lives, in our families, in our churches. Great harm, okay? We don't want that, do we? All right. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, I don't have time to deal with it. Much, but Ephesians 2 talks about how that, He says, in you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Because of Adam's sin, death passed upon all men. All right? So that's the case of mankind. And there, Jesus taught us the necessity of being born again. All right? You understand that? We have to be born again in order to serve the Lord, all right? And he says in this next few verses, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. At one point, we were like that. We were like the world. But God, in his mercy, called us, quickened us by his spirit, and gave us a life in Christ. All right? Listen to what he says in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we were. The next verse says, but God. And then he starts talking about grace. The grace that God has given us. Except for the grace of God, we would be like the world today. All right? So, even though we have this old nature about us, God has given us a new nature in our when we're born again. He's given us a new nature. We can hear his word. We have a desire to hear his word. We have a desire to please him. We have a desire to do that which is according to godliness and to deny the things of the flesh. Okay? All right, let's keep going here. In chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, he begins to speak about the old man. All right? The natural man, the carnal man, all right? And he says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That's what I just read to you about in Ephesians chapter 2. That conversation of the old man, how we did before we were born of the Spirit. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Let that sink in for a second. All right? That nature, that old nature, that sinful, fleshly nature that we have that is at odds with the Spirit, it's there. You know, don't you wish that when we were born of the Spirit that he would have eradicated that old nature? Well, I wish he had, but he didn't. Now he's going to. Well, we're raised and fashioned like unto his glorious body. He's going to do it then. But right now, under the old law service, we had sacrifices and we had laws and we had penalties and we had all those kinds of things that they had to live under. In the grace dispensation, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so now that we're under grace, we can show our love to him by keeping his commandments. We're not under that old law service anymore, even though his word is still true and his ways are still true and his righteousness hasn't changed. He says, if you love me. So when we keep his commandments, we're showing that we love him. All right? Brother Kenneth read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1. About those exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See what happens from lust? There's corruption that comes up. All right, we don't want that, do we? So, I'm trying to wrap this up here. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, and just the last verse of the chapter, verse 14. Paul says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Kenneth, I believe, pretty early on in his message, he talked about the armor of God. And the lesson there was to put it on. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All right? Now, notice the language here. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by grace, we're in him. By grace, we're put into him. But as we live our life, we want our life to reflect by the fruit that we bear, by the choices that we make, by the decisions that we make. We want our life to reflect what he's put us in, what he's put in us. All right? And so what he's saying here, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. To fulfill the lusts thereof. If we make provision for the flesh instead of the Spirit, we're going to be fulfilling those lustful desires that pull us away from God. Now, if there's anything I've learned in my ministry, is that people are going to do what people want to do. If we want to bad enough, we'll find a way. We'll make provision to get it done. What are we getting done? I'll leave that with you. What are we getting done? Are we making a stand? Are we doing what we need to do to avoid those lusts of the flesh? Are we, you know, sometimes you can rearrange your schedule or rearrange your route or rearrange something to avoid some of those things which constantly come upon us. Sometimes we can do that. Other times we need to be looking to the Lord and begging Him to give us the strength we need to resist those things. Right. Whatever the case might be, you know what lusts are. You know what how they affect you. You know what your schedule's like. Are we making provision so that we can be faithful to God and be stronger in His might? Or are we allowing the flesh to kind of have its way in our life? You know, you've got to answer that. I can't answer that for you. But that's something that I just feel like that, you know, with the burden of my heart this morning, I know this is not the most enjoyable thing to listen to, but it would be the most fruitful thing that we could do to take heed to it and show more of God's grace in our lives to others by showing love to God and loving one another. All right? Now, I need one more minute. He hasn't left us alone in this warfare. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. If we love Him, then we want to pursue knowing what His Word tells us. If we love Him, we want to do what's pleasing in His sight. Okay? But He's not left us to our own strength and our own intellect. You've already heard a lot from Brother Kenneth this morning about how we can stand. But let me give you a faithful promise the Lord has given us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, I would that we could all commit it to memory. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. All right? Here is a promise from God when we face temptation. Anybody need some help from the Lord when you face temptation? You know, you might have done pretty good already, but tomorrow you may be hit, you may be blindsided by something. And so we need the Lord's help every day. All right? Well, here it is. If you don't know it already, here it is. There hath no temptation taken you. That's good, isn't it? It covers all of them. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Did you hear that? God has He's promised that if you're trusting Him, He'll deliver you. He will make a way of escape, whatever the temptation is. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that glorious? That God loves us so much that He has put Himself on the line and has said, listen, if you'll trust in Me, I'll give you a way of escape out of every temptation that you'll ever face. Wow. He's not left us alone. He's not left us to our own puny selves. He has promised to be our helper and our defender. He has promised to give us a way of escape. Now, that escape is not always from the fire. Sometimes it's through the fire. Didn't we hear about that this morning? Sometimes God doesn't deliver us from the Red Sea. He parts the Red Sea so that we can go through it. Sometimes He doesn't remove the storm. Sometimes He comes walking on it to remind us of His power over it. And sometimes He will calm the storm. But whatever it is, it's His choice. But He's promised you He will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Why? So you can be faithful to Him. So that you can be strong in that defense. So that you can stand in the evil day. What's the evil day? whenever you need it, whenever you need help from the Lord. Job learned a lot about the evil day, didn't he? Job 14:1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. All right? And that gets you sisters too, by the way. Men and women. Man that is born of a woman is a few days. Job 14:1. Few days and full of trouble. We never know where the next trouble is coming from. But we should always know where our help can come from in our time of trouble. Brethren, listen. There's a real danger in the lusts of our flesh that wants to pull us away from fellowship with God. God has given us His Word, He's given us His Spirit, and He has promised, no matter what temptation you face, He will give you a way to escape if you're trusting Him and leaning upon Him. May God bless you, is our prayer.